Today, Shem Sachta Erev and Daf Yud Tes. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amar Alf, the top line. Lamer Yimri Ben Aloza. Bar A, Shloi Kimis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Bas Vadam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not act in a similar way as human beings act. Midas Bas Vadam, when it comes to human beings, Mischaiv Adam Harigla Malchus, if Rechmal Tzlon, somebody is sentenced to death, they put a bit of wood, l'toich piv, in his mouth, so he should not be able to curse the king who sentenced him to death. However, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam is chayv harigel makom. If somebody is chayv misa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shoysik, he remains silent. Shenemar l'cha d'mi tehila. The best thing we could do is remain silent. So the Ritva explains, because we know the Mishpatei Hashem Tzadku Yachtav, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is done with complete righteousness. So since everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is done with complete righteousness, we know that whatever he did, we deserved. And therefore, the person doesn't say anything. Another pshat that the Mashah suggests is that if a person, Rachman Tzlan, is chayiv, the king executes a person. After the person dies, the king can no longer do anything to him. So at that point, he doesn't mind cursing the king. What could the king do to me anymore? I'm dead. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chayiv kayim lo'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains forever. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu remains forever, so even after the person is executed, he knows that he's going to have to meet up with Hashem, and therefore he's careful not to say anything he's not supposed to say. V'loyoid, not only is that what happens, Ella Meshabeach, the person who is executed praises Hashem, Shnema Tehila. He praises Hashem because and Mashah explains that the reason he praises Hashem because he's happy that he got his punishment in this world, and he shouldn't have to get punished in the next world. Others suggest that that's pshat what we say in the tefillos in the Yom Haroim. The pasuk says, "V'yigba Hashem tzvokos b'mishpat." The mishpatei Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, v'yigba Hashem b'mishpat. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, v'yigba Hashem, it causes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be glorified. V'loy oid el shadoy meloy. The person who suffers is considered ki'ilu mevi carbon, makriv carbon, as if he brought a carbon. Shnema l'cha yishulam neder. And Rashi explains, the person's silence in the face of punishment, that is considered a carbon. The Mashah explains that just like when somebody brings a carbon, so when somebody brings a carbon, what happens is that they take the animal, and they say that whatever happens to the animal should have happened to the person. Says the Mashah, that's the same thing when a person dies. When the person dies, the punishment that he receives, or the death even that he receives, is a kapara that he should have mechilas avonos and be able to come to the Olam Emes purified. Hayin Adam Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, it says that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said. Ma'idik siv, oivrei, refers to people who violated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Emek, shemamikim lahem gehenim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes gehenim deeper for them. So the Nefesh HaChaim explains what's pshat b'mikim lahem gehenim. It's not talking about Olam HaEmes, says the Nefesh HaChaim. Mamikim lam gehenim says, is in, even in this world. This world, a person who doesn't act like he's supposed to act, he has gehenim in this world. Rabbi Yeruchim from Mir says a different pshat. He says that a person who doesn't aveira because he got caught up with the moment, so that doesn't define the person. The person, unfortunately, couldn't control himself, and he did an Aveira. But sometimes, says Rabbi Yerucham, there are Aveiras that people do that change the person. So he's saying that's Pshat in the Gemara. There are Aveiras that mamikim lahem Gehenim, that cause that he should have Gehenim in this world because they change who the person is. Habocha, Shaboichanim are reading the Mayan, the Maz, that they cry, Kamayin Shalshisin, just like there were the area, the drain by the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, they cry. And Taras Chaim says, what's the connection to the Mizbeach? So he says, because we learned in the previous Gemara that somebody who gets punishment in this world is like bringing a carbon. So that's why these people are connected to the Mizbeach. Gam brochus ya tamara, shemitztikim leim sadim, that they justify what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. V'amir l'bani shalom, yofadanta, you judged me properly. Yofazachis, if I came out innocent, it was the right decision. Yofachayafta, yofatakata gehenem urushoim, it was appropriate that you make gehenem for those who act like who are urushoim, and you make gan edim l'tzadikim. Eini, so here we see that the Gemara says that the Rishoim accept the Gzar Din. Eini asked the Gemara, Baruch Hashem ben Lakish, Rishoim, afil ha-pischa she-gehenim, Rishoim, even when they're at the entrance to Gehenim, Einan chayzim b'tshuva, they don't do tshuva. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, v'yotsu v'ro b'pirgwe ha-nosh ma-pashim bi. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, we'll see the people who did Averis against me. And the Pasuk continues, ki solatam loy Thomas, v'yishem loy sikhba v'hoi d'ron l'chabasa, the fire remains forever. She-posh loy nemer, it doesn't mean that they did Averis in the past. Ela ha-poshim, the Pasuk says that they are considered poshim, she-poshim v'ha-yolim l'olim, so we see that they don't do tshuva, answers the Gemara Lakasha. Hava poshi Yisrael, poshi Yisrael, once they go to Gehenna, they do tshuva. Hava poshi, I've covered, even when they're in Gehenna, don't do tshuva. So here we see there's a difference between a tzaddik, between Rishoim. So I saw that the Klaus Megareba explains this Gemara. He says that here we have people who did Averis their whole life, and then they're taken to the Gehenim. So a person, what does that mean? And the Gemara makes a difference between Pashi Yisrael and Pashi Omos Olam. He says the Pashi Yisrael, even if they did Averis, when the last moments of their life, they are ready to do tshuva. But the Rishoyim, the Pashi of the Kachavim, afilo piskos shel Gehenim, says the Klaus Megareba, means they're on the deathbed, they're right by Gehenim, and they still don't do tshuva. So I saw from Rishon Vadron Zatzal, he says, what's pshat? A person who's almost not here anymore and he's still not doing tshuva, he says, because what is the definition of a rasha? So Rav Shalom Zatzal explains that a rasha is a person who doesn't think about the consequences of his actions. They don't live a life of thinking of what's going to be in the future. And he says, that's pshat in this Gemara. Afilo apischa shegehenim. So they're realizing that they're about to leave the world and they should start thinking what's going to happen as they leave this world. But he says that since they never think about the future, even in the last moments of their life, they're not thinking about the future. And since in these last moments of their lives that they're not thinking about the future, that's why they don't do tshuva. Hochanam Mistabra says the Gemara, this explanation is very understandable. Dim Kane. If you're going to say the Rish Lakish was even speaking about Pashi Yisrael, Kasha the Rish Lakish and the Rish Lakish will have a stira in Rish Lakish's words himself. Dam Rish Lakish, Pashi Yisrael ain't our Gehenim Shlatzbem. The fire of Gehenim cannot affect them. Kavachoymer, Mizbeach Azov. Because we make the following Kavachoymer from the Mizbeach Azov that was in the Beis HaMikdash. Ma Mizbeach Azov, Shenelov Ela Ke'uvi Din Azov. It only had a covering, a narrow covering, a narrow plating of gold. Amet kamashonim, and it was in the Beis HaMikdash for so many years. V'loy sholt ben or, and none of that gold got rubbed out, got burnt from that fire. Pash Yisrael shleim mitzvahs kariman. So here Gemara calls the Kosh Yisrael, even people from Klal Yisrael who do mitzvahs, who do averis, they're considered Malayim mitzvahs kriman, as if they're full of mitzvahs. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Shira Shirim, Kefelech harima and rekoseich. V'amar v'shimim b'lokish, atikir rekoseich, ela rekoseich. To teach us, afil rekoneshbach, even the people who are so empty, the rishoyim, Malayim mitzvahs kriman. So the question is, if ask the Kli Yoker, if they're full of mitzvahs, why are they called Rishoyim? So he says they're called Rishoyim until they do the mitzvahs. Another pshat that I saw from the Meril Diskin is that these Rishoyim are constantly regretting their life. First they did mitzvahs, they do averus, then they regret. The Gemara says Rishoyim Malayim Charotis. They're constantly full of regret. And that's why they do tshuva so often. That's why the Malayim Mitzvahs. Alach Svekama. So we see that it's impossible that Rish Lakish should say that the Pasuk that speaks about the fire of Gehenna never stopping are talking about Pashi Yisrael. Because the Pashi Yisrael are people who are Malayim Mitzvahs Kariman. It must be that it's talking, like the Gemara said, talking about the Pasha of the Kechavim. So we see the Gemara is saying that the Pasha Yisrael are Malayim Mitzvahs Kariman. What's Peshat the Malayim Mitzvahs Kariman? So, because the Riman has many pits, and the Riman, they say, has 613 pits. So, representing the Tariq Mitzvahs. But I saw that the Sefer B'Shem Mordechai explains that there's no person that can fulfill all the mitzvahs. There's no person that can be over all the averis. There's certain mitzvahs that only apply to Kohanim and to Levium. There's certain averis that only apply in Eretz Yisrael. But how do we understand this? Because as the Medrash says, the Pasuk says, V'lekach lechem b'yom rishon priyetz hadar v'kapas tamarim v'anaf etz ovos. And the four types, the four minim, represent the four different types of Jews. Some people have yesh by Torah, yesh by masam tovim, and there are those that have one, and there are those that are rather that have none. But ye'agdu elu be'elu, we're all connected. And because we're all connected, that's why we're the Malayim Mitzvahs Kariman. Because the people that do that, we all connected through all the mitzvahs that we're doing all together. What pshat afilu mreim mitzvahs afilu rekonish b'chol mleim mitzvahs kriman? The people who are rekonim, that feel that they are empty, they feel that they really don't have much to themselves. They're extremely modest and humble. They are the people who mleim mitzvahs kriman. But then I saw that the Tepuke Chaim has a different pshat altogether. He says that the Riman that's referred here is not what we always think about, the pomegranate. Rather, it means a bell. He says, as it's Chazal teach us, B'chol yoyim v'yoyim, baskol yoytz ma'ar choyriv, v'meres oylem lebriyos melbonish ha'torah. There's a baskel that comes out every day and says, terrible how what's happening, how people don't do what they're supposed to do. So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef asks from the Baal Shem, did anybody ever hear this baskel? That the Gemara says, B'chol yoyim v'chol baskel yoytzes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents this baskel in order that we should do tshuva. But if no one hears the baskel, what is the purpose in that baskel? Says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in the name of Baal Shem, that many times you have a person that has a moment where he does tshuva. That moment that he does tshuva, what causes him to do tshuva? That baskol, that we maybe don't hear it physically, our neshamas hear that baskol. And when our neshamas hear that baskol, it causes that our neshamas should want to do tshuva. So he says, that's the Malay Mitzvah's Karimai. That even the Rishoyim have moments that they want to do tshuva. And since they have moments that they want to do tshuva, those moments make them be Malay Mitzvah's Karimai. So the Yisroch Moshe has a different pshat. He says that when you look at a Rimon, when we look at a pomegranate, in a pomegranate, there's more waste than there is fruit. But the waste is there to protect the fruit. So too, the Rishoyim, even though they're there Rishoyim, they're still here to help the Tzaddikim to be able to do the mitzvahs. And therefore, they serve a real purpose in the world. And because they serve that purpose in the world, that's why they're considered Malay Mitzvahs Karimim. Ask the Gemara. Ella Hadiksiv. The Pasuk says, Hadiksiv Oivir Be'em Kabocha. The Pasuk is speaking about Poshi Yisrael. And the Pasuk says that they remain in Gehenim. How do we understand that Pasuk? Answers the Gemara. Hahu the Mechaiva Hi Shata. They go to Gehenim for one moment, Gehenim. They go for a moment to Gehenim. V'asa Avram Avinu U'mapikluhu Mekabaluhu. Avram Avinu takes everybody out of Gehenim. Bam Yisrael Shabbat Abbas Avet Kechavim. Besides a Jew who lived with a non-Jewish woman. Or the who Mashka Alasai. It's a person that doesn't have a bris mila. V'lai Mavashkelei. Him, Avram Avinu won't take out. So the question is, why is it specifically Avram Avinu who takes the Rishoyim out of Gehenim? So the Yaivitz explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram Avinu the choice. Does he want his children to have Gehenim or to go to Golus? And Avram Avinu chose Golus. So says the Yaivitz, that's what Avram Avinu says. I chose Golus. And unfortunately, we are in Golus. And because we're in Golus, Avram Avinu says, therefore, we don't deserve to be in Gehenim. But somebody who lives with a non-Jewish woman, so that person doesn't look like a son, as a descendant of Avram Avinu. If he doesn't look like a descendant of Avram Avinu doesn't take him out. And that's the same, a person who doesn't have a bris mila. The person who doesn't have the bris mila, Avram Avinu says, isn't my child, because my children are very makbid on having a bris mila. And because my children are so particular in having bris mila, that's why if you don't have a bris mila, you're not recognized as Avram Avinu's son. And I saw that the Klaus Magareba explains. He says that even in older generations where there were people who weren't Shomrei Torah mitzvahs as they were supposed to be, we see that a bris mila they always make. And he says, that's pshat. He says, even if the person is a person who doesn't do Torah mitzvahs, but we see that he's ready to be maisa nefesh, to have a bris mila. And he explains, you know, bris mila, he says, is always the mitzvah that we say is considered the mitzvah of mesiras nefesh. The pasuk says, kalecha ragnu kol hayoyim, explains the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, daf mem zayin amar aleph, zu bris mila. Why is that considered a bris mila? A correct nahagru kol yoyim? Most people have a circumcision and they're fine. It's not considered a very dangerous operation. So he explains, it's not the operation of the bris mila that's being referred to here. Rather, he says, what's being referred to here is when a person has a bris mila, he's recognized as a Jew. And therefore he says, there's so many episodes in our history where they wanted to punish and do decrees against Jewish people. How are they able to know that somebody's a Jew? By seeing, did he have a bris mila or not? So explains the Klaus Magareba Zatzal. The person who's ready to have the bris mila, and he recognizes by having a bris mila, by making a bris mila for his child, he's identifying himself as a Jew. That is enough that Avraham Avinu says he's ready to be recognized as a Jew, even though who knows what that will represent. That's the person who is ready to represent himself as a Jew, that I will make sure that he's schlepped out of Gehenna. Masker of Kahana, ask of Anna, the Amrit, hashtag the Amrit, not that you said, the Poshim of Azli, that they still do Averis. El Mata, the Pasuk says, Hamoitzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, or the Pasuk says, Hamala Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, doesn't mean the Mapiku, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still taking out of Mitzrayim. El the Asik for Apik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Hachanami, the Poshi, doesn't mean that they're still doing Averis. They do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're taken out of Gehenim. V'am Rabbi Yemir ben Elozo, Shloish Pesachim Yesh L'Gehenim. Gehenim has three doors. Echa B'Midbar, one in the Midbar. Echa B'Yam, Echa B'Yushalayim. In three different areas. The Ksiv, V'yeh Dehem V'chosh L'am Chaim Sh'oloi. So that Kairach V'Adosoi went in the Gehenim, and that was in the Midbar. B'Yam, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says in Yoina, Mibetn Sh'ol Shivati Shemata Koili. Yoina says that I was almost thrown into Gehenim, and we know the story of Yoina happened in the Yam. Bishlaim diksiv, Num Hashem, Asha'uloi b'tzion, v'tanuloi b'yushlaim. V'tanu d'beir b'shmol, Asha'uloi b'tzion zu Gehenim, v'tanuloi b'yushlaim zu pischa shel Gehenim. That is the entranceway to Gehenim is in Yerushalayim. So I saw what's pshat in these three different places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that being referred to. So, because the Imri Emes asks a question. If it says here that there are three entrances to Gehenim, so before we just learned that Avram Avinu sits by the entrance of Gehenim and doesn't let any Yisrael into Gehenim. But if there are three entrances, how could Avram Avinu be at three different places at the same time? So the Imri Emes says, either we could understand it like Eliyahu HaNavi by Bris. We know that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every Bris. But there are many brisin taking place at the same time in different places around the world. So how could Eliyahu HaNavi attend all those brisin? It's the same concept. And then the Imri Emes said another teretz. What the Gemara means to say is that there are three entrances at the same place of Gehenim. And Avram Avinu stands at the first gate and makes sure that nobody has to go into the second or third door. But I saw a beautiful pshat from Rav Shach Zatzal in this Gemara. He says that there are different places in the world. He says there are places that are Midbar, there are places that are Yam, there's Yerushalayim. He says, no matter where you are, a person can do Averis. A person to think, I'm in a Midbar, I'm a desert, what Averis could I do? I'm on the Yam, I'm on the ocean, what Averis could I do in the ocean? I'm in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh. What kind of Averis could I do in Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh? Teaches us the Gemara. There's a Pischa Shel Gehenim. There's Gehenim wherever you are. You have to be careful not to do Averis wherever you are to watch yourself. Ask the Gemara. V'su Leka. Are there no other entrances to Gehenim? V'amra Marion Amram Yishu Ben Levi. V'amra Leitana Rabman Ben Marion B'debei Rabbi Yochim and Zakai. Shnei Tamaros Yesh. The two palm trees in Yerushalayim, in a place called Begay Ben Henem, Va'ol Oshem Ben Neim, and smoke comes up between these two trees. Zui Shishanina, and these palm trees are what we know about called Tzina Harabazal Ksheris, that they can be used for a lulav for the Dalaminim. And they taught us that that is an entranceway to Gehenim. So we see another entranceway to Gehenim. And it says the Gemara, Del Mahan Yerushalayim. We said that one of the entranceways is in Yerushalayim. This is the entranceway which is in Yerushalayim. Amar Yishu Ben Levi, Shimon Shemesh Yesh Lo Gehenim. Gehenim has seven names. Ve'elein Shoyl V'avodim Be'er Shachas U'Be'er Shoyl V'tit Hayovim V'Tzalmovis Eres HaTachtis. Shoyl D'Ksiv Ribetn Shoil Shivati Shamata Koili. Avodim the Ksiv, I super bekever, chazdecha, and menoschub avodim. When you'll be in avodim, you won't be able to do any mitzvahs anymore. Beshachs Ksiv, Kiloy Sazov Nafshi Lashoil, Lesitin Chasitcha Leroy Shochas. Ber Shoin, Vitetayovin the Ksiv, Yaleni, Mipar Shoin, Vitetayovin. Dovra Melch praises Hashem that you took me out of Gehenim. Tzalmovis the Ksiv, Yoshve, Choshech Vitzalmovis. Eretz Atachtis, that's one of the names of Gehenim, says the Gemara, Gemarahu. It's a, that was a Mesorah that Chazal had. Vesuleka, ask the Gemara, Does Gehenna not have any other names? It has the name Gehenna itself. Says the Gemara, Gehenna is not a name of Gehenna. Rather, it means Gei Shamuka, Shakol Yorloi Aliska Hinam. People end up in Gehenna, Aliska Hinam. Iska Hinam is a rayas. The Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zocharnu es hadogo asher noichol b'Mitzrayim chinam. And Rashi says that means that they could marry whoever they want, they could live whoever they want. So people end up in Gehenim chinam, that they think that because of Erva. But I saw that the Sefer Birkas Avram says, chinam means that if a person does an Aveira because he had a desire to do an Aveira, of course you may not do an Aveira for that reason, but we understand what the person did. But if somebody does an Aveira because he just got accustomed to do Aveiras, even if he has no benefit from doing the Aveira, that is considered a serious Baal Aveira. And that is the person who the Gemara says ends up in Gehenna. Says the Gemara, Vika, there's another name to Gehenna, Tifta, Diksiv Ki Oruch Mi Esmal Tifta, that Gehenna was prepared from before for the Baal Aveira. Says the Gemara again, that's not the name of Gehenna. Who, what it means to say is, Kolam Spata B'Yitzroi, whoever gets instigated by his Aveira, by his Yetzahar, to do Aveiras, Yipel Shom will end up in Gehenna. Gan Eden, what about Gan Eden? We spoke about Gehenna. So now the Gemara speaks about Gan Eden. Amrei Shlokish, in Be'eretz Yisrael, if Gan Eden is in Eretz Yisrael, Beishan Pischoi. We know Beishan had wonderful fruit. So it makes sense to say that that's where is the entrance to Gan Eden. Vim Be'arvia, Be'sgerim Pischoi. Again, a place of wonderful fruit. Vim Be'naharasu, the Meskanen Pischoi, the entrance is in Meskanen. Be'bovel, if the entrance to Gan Eden is in Bovel, Abai Meshtakech, Be'peir de Mavi Yeminoi. Abai would say that the fruit of this place called Mavi Yeminoi, a wonderful fruit, and therefore that should be the entrance to Gan Eden. Rav Meshtab Be'peir de Harfino, that that's the fruit. So the Gemara says, the Mashal asks a question. Here the Gemara just taught us that Gehenna had three entrances. Gan Eden only has one entrance. We're not just sure where it is, but the Gemara says that Gehenna has three and Gan Eden has one. And don't we always know that Mida Toiva Meruba Mida Pranius? So why does Gehenna have more entrances than Gan Eden? So the Taras Chaim says, because more people end up in Gehenna than in Gan Eden. So that's why Gehenna needs to have more entrances. He says that the Gemara began, another teretz that the In Yaakov gives, that our sugya began that a person, a pilapishlus of Gehenim, en chozrim b'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this goes back to what we quoted the Imre Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made three entrances to Gehenim, but those three entrances are in the same spot. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make that when a person, Chas V'Shalom, is going to Gehenna, he should do tshuva. So he makes three entrances to give a person a chance to do tshuva. By Gan Eden, there's no need to do so. Another pshat that I saw that the In Yaakov gives is that there's a concept which we learn often in Masechta Sanhedrin about Inu Hadin, that when a judgment is ruled, we should do it immediately. That's obviously by Gehenna. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Gehenna different places that they should be able to fall into Gehenna immediately. So we learned that our Mishnah taught us the halacha about the Yimudim, that they had this pit that they drew water from, and they wanted to make that as the people were being oiler regal, they should be able to access that water, even though it represented taking water out of the pit, which is Rosh Hashanah, to the area around the pit, which is Rishus Rabbim. So the Mishnah discussed how much area is there between these L-shaped corners. K'mnein k'molei shtei revokis. Ramea said the map for two groups of oxen, each group had three. Rabbi Yehuda said that each group had four. Says the Gemara, Pshita, given the tunnel like Shurus, and the Mishnah said Shurus v'loi mataris. So ask the Gemara, Pshita, Kivin the Tanalei, the Kshurus Hava, once the Mishnah said that these, the way we measure their oxen is when they're tied together, and Nanyadin the Laim Torah. So it's obvious that they weren't, that they're not separate. What does it have to say in the Mishnah? Also, Vilaim Torah. Answers the Gemara, Matem Kshurus, Ken Kshurus. We should look at them as if they were tied together, that they're very close. Ava Mamishloi, but they don't necessarily actually have to be tied together. Kamash Mulan, the Mishnah teaches us, Veloy Mutaris, that they have to be tied and not, they have to be so tight as when they are tied. And we said, Achat Nechneses Vatsuyotis, one group coming in, one group coming out. Tana, the Bryce explains, how do we look at these two groups? Rivka Nechneses, Rivka Yotis. It's not one axe going in and one axe going out. Rather, it's the two groups. One group of three, according to Rameyu, or according to Yehuda, four, tied together going in, and one group going out. Tanana Rabbanan, V'kama Rosh HaRubish L'Parah, what is the measurement that's Rosh HaRubish L'Parah? Shtei Amos. That's two Amos. So that means we could bring the Pasim up to two Amos close to the bar. And the explanation is as follows. The whole reason, as we've been explaining, we can rely on the Pasim Beros is because we want to have that the oxen should be able to access the water in the pit. But they have to be able to stand in that area. And how much area does that mean? Two amos. That means there has to be a minimum of two amos from the pit to the walls, to the area that's enclosed. The Kama of Yishapara asked the Braisa, what is the width of Para? Says the Gemara, Amma v'shnei shlishi Amma, an Amma and two-thirds. Shehen ke'es, the Divrei Meir. So when you have six, it'll be six times one and two-thirds equal 10. He says you have eight, which is about 13, 14. Really, it's 13 and a third. Ask the Gemara Ke'eser, what did the Braisa say that when you have room for these six animals that Rameya spoke about? It's Ke'eser, Ha'esav, six times, one and two-thirds. Answers the Gemara, correct. It should have said Eser. However, shouldn't the boiler misnei Sefer? Since in the Sefer it wants to say Kishloish Esrei, that there it's not exactly 13, because as we just said, it's 13 and a third. That's why it says Kishloish Esrei. But ask the Gemara, it's more than 13, says the Gemara. Mishun Debayil Misna Ka'aba Esrei. It wants to say like 14, but it's not quite 14. Ka'aba Esrei Lehavya. It's not 14 either. It's 13 and a third. Amra Papa, what it means to say is Yisayr is a Shlesh Esrei. It's more than 13. Ve'en Magiyas Laba Esrei, but it's not 14. As we keep on saying, it's 13 and a third. And that's why, if it would have said Kishlesh Esrei Amra, it's only, or if it would have only said Kaba Asrama, it would not be accurate. By saying this word, that's why it represents that it's somewhere in between. And what does it mean? 13 and a third. Amra Papa, Bebar Shmaina, where you have a bar which is 8 amos wide, the Kul Amal, so we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda said, that you make the four corners. Ramei said, that besides making the four corners, you have to put boards in between the four corners. So the Gemara qualifies that machlokes. Amra Papa, Bebar Shmoina, when the bar itself is 8 amos wide, the Kul Amalei Plig D'Lei Binim Pshutim. Everybody agrees that you only need to have the corners. There is no machlokes or Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because if the bar will be 8 amos wide, and then you have to have 2 amos, as we said a moment ago, for the axe to stand there, it's a total of 10. So it turns out that the area between the Yemudim is not 10, is less than 10 amos, because the Yemudim take up an amma. And therefore, if the Yemudim take up an amma, and the bar is 8 amos, you'll have no reason to have any extra boards in between, because if the opening is less than 10 amos, even Ramei agrees, it's fine. The bar shtei mesrei. In the other hand, if you have a bar that's 12 amos wide, the kamalai bein pliga the binim pshutim. Then there won't be machlokes that you'll have to bring extra boards in between, because if you're going to have such a big space, then the space between the corners is going to be 16 amos, And if the space is going to be 16 amos, even Rabbi Yehuda only allow you to have a space, as we just learned, of 13 and a third. So how could you correct that? By bringing an extra board. Ki pligi, where's the machlokes b'shmoyin about shtei masri? There may have been a pshutim, because it's more than 10 amos. And once it's more than 10 amos, you need to bring a board. Rabbi Yehuda loy b'in a pshutim. Ask the Gemara, Papa Mike Mashmon, what's Rabbi Papa teaching us? Tanina, isn't that what we learned in the Mishnah? That according to Rameh, you can't have a space of more than 10 amos. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can have a space of 13 and a third. So what's Rabbi Papa coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Papa Brisa lo shmile. Rabbi Papa did not hear the Brisa that we learned before. And therefore, if he didn't learn the Brisa, he came to expound and explain the Mishnah. And now, Kumashan Laka Brisa, he teaches us that he learned the Brisa, which said exactly what he taught us. Tosfos points out that really the Gemara could have said that they're agreeing by a bar of 11 and a third, but the Gemara didn't want to deal with fractions. Aryach Yasa Basel Hatzis Chatzor Shiyof Shosimen. Says the Gemara, Baminei Bai Mirava, Herach B'di Yumutim K'shir Pshutim. That means, as we just learned, if there's too much of space between the corners, everybody will agree that you have to put a board. But instead of putting a board, what the person did was lengthen the corners. What would be the halacha according to Rameya? When Rameya said in the Mishnah that when you have too much of a space, you put these boards in between the corners, did Rameya mean to say you have to put boards? That's the only way it could be corrected. Or did he mean to say that it's an option? You have an option to extend the corners, but if you don't want to extend the corner, then you could put boards. But if you want to extend the corners, then you don't have to put boards. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question is maybe Remeir specifically required that you should put these boards because it would be more of a hecker that it's an enclosed area. Extending the walls won't be so much of a hecker. Amalei, so Rava responded, Tenesua, Uvat Shiyaba B'Pasim. The Braisa says that if you make it, there's big of a space, Vat Shiyaba B'Pasim. My laugh, the Marach B'Dimudim, that you could extend the corners. So you see that extending the corners is acceptable. Says the Gemara Loi, that's not what it necessarily means. What it means is the Mapish V'Avet Pshutim, that you should make more, you should put up these single boards. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's what it means, Ihai B'Vad Shiyab B'Pasin, it shouldn't say Shiyab B'Pasin, At Shiyab B'Pasin, it should have said that you make more boards. It says the Gemara, maybe that's what it means. Tani At Shiyab B'Pasin. And as they sort of showing him explain, it doesn't mean that we should change the wording of the Mishnah. What it means is that's the way the Mishnah should be interpreted. Ikadamri, Amalei, my love, the mapish vav pshutim. Doesn't it mean that you should make pshutim? Extending the corners is not an option. So the maloi, what the Mishnah means is the marach b'dimudim, you could extend the corners. Hachinami mstadver, that the Mishnah means that you could extend the corners. Minikhtani uvach yarb bipasim. That means that the pasim that you have already, those corners that you have already, you can extend. Shema mino, from here we see that that is an acceptable approach. Now he asks a different question. Rabbi Yehuda said we could only have a space of 13 and a third between these corners. So if you have an area of more than 13 and a third, pshutin of it, will Rabbi Yehuda require that you should put these straight boards, or will he hold that you could extend the existing corners? And again, isn't this the same question as we had before? Because the Rashi explains, Rabbi Yehuda didn't mention pshutim, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda seemingly maybe holds for sure you should better extend the corners. On the other hand, we could say there's so much and there's an advantage of doing that, because when we have pshutim, we have a concern we mentioned this concern when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, of Asavir Dahagisa, Vavir Dahagisa Mavatale. A small board where there's empty space on both sides gets nullified. On the other hand, when you extend the boards, you're not really that, it's not that much of a hecker. And that's why the Gemara wants to know, what will Rabbi Yehuda hold you should do in that situation? Omelet to Nesua. We learned in a Braisa. Kama Mekurovim. How close could these corners be to the pit that you should be able to rely on this approach? Rosh V'Ruvish L'Para. That most of the para, as we explained earlier in the shir, should be able to stand there. Afilu Murchokim. How wide of an area can we rely on to use with the dimudim? Says the Brice, afilu kuriayim, a very large area. Rudaimer, base sasayim, only an area the size of a base sasayim. Mutter, yoisim base sasayim, but if it's an area that's enclosed larger than a base sasayim, usur, we may not carry there. Amr loy Rabbi Yehuda, so they told Rabbi Yehuda, iatamoida, but dear, don't you agree that when they had the place where they kept the animals, that it wasn't limited to Beis Asayim? Or the Sahar is also a place where they kept the animal. The difference between the deer was in the city, the Sahar was outside the city. Or Muksa is a backyard, Vichotzer is a front yard. Shafil Beis Chamishas Kurim, Afil Bas Asurim Kurim, Shemutter, you could carry in these enclosed areas. So why are you limiting it to Beis Asayim? Amalem, to which Rabbi Yehuda responded, Zup, in these areas, the deer, the sahar, the muksa, and the chotzer, mechitza. There's a full-fledged mechitza. Ve'elu, in the cases that we're discussing, we only have pasabaros. And since we only have pasabaros, that's why we have to be stricter and limit the area that it could be used for. Ask the Gemara v'im Isa. If Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we could, when we have too large of an area, we could just put these extra board, they both have a mechitzas. So why are you differentiating? How is he differentiating between the different areas? Says it must be that Rabbi Yehuda never allows us to use these standing boards, presumably for the reason that we gave, for the reasons that we gave, either because the problem with these boards is osavir the haigisa, vosavir the haigisa mevatala. That's one possible issue. Or they're not that, or they're maybe not considered noticeable enough. Says the Marhach Kama. Zu taras mechitzala. This, a deer, sar, muksa, have full fledged mechitzas. And therefore, and it can't have an opening of more than 10 amas. So therefore, we could be more lenient. Elu, the case of our Mishnah, Pasa Baros, Taurus Pasan Aleim, they only have the din of a pass, of a board. And we also are lenient that puts the same Mishlash as Rabbi Vishlish, and therefore maybe we have to be stricter in limiting the area that it works for, that could only work for an area that's a base society. Bominai Bai Mirava, Tel HaMislaket Asar Matoich Arba. If you have a mound, and that mound has the dimensions that it's 10 tefachim high, and within 4 amis, within walking up 4 amis, it will be 10 amis high. That is considered, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Amin Aleph, Rishus HaYochid. What's going to be if you have such a mound in one of the corners, and you could dig out that it should look like a deyumid, but right now it doesn't look like a deyumid. Right now it only looks like a mound. Nidim Mishum Diyumid, can it be considered halachically a Diyumid, or any Nidim Mishum Diyumid, or is it not halachically considered a Diyumid? Vimlav, says the Gemara, Amalei Tinesua. So Rava says it's a Braisa. Roshim Ramalaza Oima. Hoysisham Evim Rubaz. If you have in the corners a square stone, Royin, we look at that stone. Kol Shayu Techolik. If you would take out the inside of the stone, it would be still left over with am on each side. You would have that L. It could be considered the yumid. Vimlav, but if you would take out that inside part, you wouldn't have those dimensions of an am and an amid. Einan in the Mishum Diyumad, it cannot be considered a Diyumad. Rishma ben Oshar b'yachim b'broik oimer, hois Hashem even agula, if there was a round stone in one of the corners. Again, we look at the same way. Kol she'ilu tichokek, if we would take away the circle and make it into a square, and then, after you take away, you make the circle into a square, and then you would have that square, and in that square there would be yesh bei amlekan v'amlekan, then the mishum diyumin, it would be considered the yumin. Mimlav, but if it's not enough that after I turn the circle into a square, that it should have an am in each direction, and in the mishum diyumin. So we see that the Tanakhama was only lenient by a square, and he's even lenient by a circle. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of their mechloikus? But my kamifkli, mar sover, Rav Shimon Elazar held chadroin amrinin. To take a square and say, I look at it like the inside was removed, I only do roin once. So that is acceptable. But to do turei roin, to make the circle into a square, and then make the square into the yimudim, that's too much, loy amrinin. And Rav Shmuel Omar, and Rav Shmuel ben Oshar b'yachin b'raika holds, I feel trei roin nami amrinin. It doesn't make a difference if I have to do it once or twice. The halacha allows us to do it because the Chazanish explains, because roin is imaginary. And the question is, how much of an imagination may I use? Continues the Gemara, Bar Minei Abayi Merova, Chitzis Akanim, if you have a mechitza that's made out of sticks that look like a diyumid, and each stick is within three tefachim of the other stick, pachas pachas mishayisha, nidim mishum diyumid aloi, is it considered diyumid or not? Amalei, so Rav told Abayi to Nesu, it's a braisa, hoysham ilon, if there was a tree, a gedder, or a brick wall, a chitzis akanim, or you have these sticks standing, nidim mishum diyumid, they're all considered qualified, if they have the proper size, an amatit size, they could be considered the yumid. My love, what is, when the Braisa said, chitzis akanim, doesn't it mean, says it, Rava, where it's kona kona pachs mishloisha, and you still see that it's acceptable. So we see that it's considered the yumid. Loi, what it means is, gedusa de kona. It means where the konim are all connected on the bottom, and then they only start coming out. But if they're all separate, even from the bottom to the top, maybe it wouldn't be acceptable. Ask the Gemara, if they're all connected on the bottom, that was already mentioned in the Braisa, because Hihochi Haina Ilan, that's the case of a tree that the Braisa mentioned separately. Elamai, what are you saying? It's Kona Kona Pox Mishloisha. Ask the Gemara, Haina Gedder, when you have sticks standing one next to each other, isn't that a Gedder? And the Braisa mentioned Gedder. Elamai is Tuchlameima. The tri-gavni gadar. The Braisa is talking about two different types of fences. A wood fence and a stone fence. Hachinami tri-gavni ilon. So the fact that it mentions ilon and it also mentions kana doesn't mean that the kana isn't connected on the bottom. Ikadami, gudaisa de kana komabayle. The question is, what is the halacha where you have the sticks that are connected on the bottom and then they separate on top? Gudeis of the Kana Mai, what is the halacha of the Gudeis of the Kana? Amalei, so Rav says to Abaya, to Nesua. Isn't that what we learned in the Braisa? Hoyosham Gedera Ilon Achitzis Akanim, Nidim Mishim the Yumid, my love. And when the Braisa said Chitzis Akanim, didn't it mean Gudeis of the Kani? So Gudeis of the Kani is in the Braisa explicitly as being an acceptable to Yumid, Loi. So he says, the meant is Kana Kana Pax Mishloisha. Tvachim, that the sticks are within three tvachim of each other, but they're not connected on the bottom. Ask the Rebbe, that's the same as gedder. Elamai, what are you going to tell me? Chitzis kanim means gudas of the kanim. So isn't that the same as a tree? Elamai is l'chameima. How do we have to interpret it? We have to interpret it trei gav ni'ilin. There's a full-fledged tree, and then you have a tree with a branch where the sticks stick out. Achnami trei gav ni'gedder. The same thing by the trei gav ni'gedder. One is where it's made out of stone, and one it's made out of wood. But what we do have is that really both of these, all of these types of corners, any of these types of enclosures are going to be considered a valid diyumid.